Good evening, folks. This is Carolyn Evers. And as you know, this is one of my favorite times of the week to be able to sit here and talk to you and have you share ideas with us. And if you've been on our show before or have heard our show, you know I bring along one of my favorite people.
Good evening, Carolyn. Good evening, everyone. This is Richard.
Yes. He is favored, isn't he? Such a great guy.
Thank you.
And he's here with us, which in itself is wonderful. He's not flying around someplace. He is a partly angel, you know, so he does do a lot of flying.
So, usually requiring an airplane for that.
Well, sometimes you use an airplane, sometimes you don't. What can I say?
Whatever you wish.
Yeah, it's my show, huh? Anyway, my friends, if you're on our mailing list and you get our emails, you know that tonight our guest is... Who's our guest, Richard?
Oh, Marie Antoinette. How about that?
Yeah, Marie Antoinette. And one of the things that she said to me before tonight was that our time is very similar to her time. So I'd be anxious in hearing all about that. How is our time like the times of Marie Antoinette, where I feel like there was a lot of the dark? If you know anything about history, it was the time of the French Revolution, a lot of turmoil. So if you have been listening to our show, you know one of the things that we suggest that you do is put the picture of Marie Antoinette in your third eye and concentrate upon your heart center, and maybe you will feel the same energies that Richard feels. So, Richard, what are you picking up from this lovely lady?
Well, her essential energetic nature is one of love. And interestingly, there's really not a lot else that I'm picking up. Perhaps a little vibrancy to go with that. A little, I'm experiencing her energy just ever so slightly right of center as I experience her. And really, the essence of her energy is love, which may perhaps surprise some people, given her, you might say, reputation in the world. But that's the essence of it. And as I said, this energy of vitality, and perhaps an energy, you know, this might be hard to understand, but an energy of wisdom is also there. Not a tremendously strong energy, but reasonably strong. It's not like she has a simple light energy at all. She's reasonably, got a reasonable strength to the energy of her as I experience her. I'm not sure what I expected, but there's more, I guess I would say that there's more substance to her than perhaps history has portrayed her.
Yes, it was a time of great turmoil. Anyway, she has a message for us, I'm sure. And
well,
so
I hope
what
so.
Is she saying? Oh, so too. What's she saying, dear one?
Let us see. My dear friends, it is an honor to come forth and speak to you in this manner. And I have to say, it was not something that I have ever considered would be a possibility. But when Carolyn was looking to see who wished to step forth for the radio show, I took the opportunity and I mentioned to her that I saw parallels between my time and yours. So let me begin by sharing a little of myself with you as I was in that lifetime, and also to share some insights that I have about that life and what I learned from it. As you may know, I was born in Austria and, of course, was born into the royal family of Austria, because the world of royalty was, just in a sense as it is today, separate from the general public. And so if one was to be part of royalty, one was essentially born into it. Of course, that has frayed a little, you might say, I think for the better. But for the most part, there is still this separation of the so-called royals from the rest of the public. And if you examine history, the nature of royalty was very different in the olden times, but the royal families had already begun their decline, you might say, in my time. I was born into a very large family. In fact, I was the 15th of 16 children, so it was quite a large family. And, of course, I was taught the skills of royalty, how to behave, how to present, how to play music, how to dance, how to sing, how to paint. These things were skills that I was encouraged in, and I was reasonably proficient in these things. But in terms of the day-to-day processes of living life that most people are faced with, they were completely foreign to me, even though I had contact with people who were not of royalty, which my parents encouraged. I truly did not appreciate what it was to live what you might consider a normal life. I was completely insulated from that experience. And so, as you will know from history, I was married into the French royal family at a time when revolution was about to emerge in France. And as history records, I was severely out of touch with, again, the reality of the public. And this was reflected in some of the judgments that were made of me. And I acknowledged that disconnection as I lived that life, and I have learnt from that. Quite a lot, indeed, have I learnt from that life. And many of you will know that, in fact, I was guillotined, as so many of so-called royalty, and indeed many others were guillotined in that time. Excuse me. And I mentioned that there are, as I see it, parallels between that time and your time. And the major parallel that I see is the influence of what you might call those powers behind the throne. There were forces already at work that are far more powerful now than they were then. And those forces you might call the Illuminati, because they had already been founded before the French Revolution. And indeed, they had taken steps to infiltrate the traditions of Freemasonry. Indeed, they had set up their own lodges prior to the French Revolution. And if you look a little more closely at those key figures who were involved in the revolution, you will find that they were all deeply connected to Freemasonry. And in particular, they were connected to that strand of Freemasonry that had been set up by the Illuminati to distort, to pull off track Freemasonry. Again, this is a subject that you have heard being spoken about by these two and by their guests on these radio shows, and that is that there were various groups that would be considered to be of the light, and those of the dark who had been very active behind the scenes from before the fall in Atlantis right through to this time. They worked very hard to overtake those organizations of the light. Indeed, if you examine religion, you'll find this in every organization where you had a great spiritual leader who came forth, whether it be Muhammad or Buddha or Yeshua or whoever it was, who were then followed by what I would call a priest class, who, you might say, overtook those fundamental teachings, which in essence carried the same fundamental messages, albeit packaged a little differently in each case, but the fundamental truths were held in common. And they were taken and packaged for the purposes of bringing power and money and control into the hands of the priest class and used to control the public. So that was one path that the dark took. But also they sought to overtake the various secret societies that have been set up over time. The Knights Templar that these two have brought messages forth were not subject to this in a direct sense, though, as you would know, they were destroyed by the actions of King Philip of France and also in concert with the Pope of the time. So you might say they were destroyed in a more overt way rather than the covert way that we have seen with Freemasonry and other traditions. Indeed, if you examine the organizations that exist today that carry the name of the Templars, which in fact have nothing really to do with that original group, you will find those threads of darkness deeply embedded in these organizations. And so the parallels that I see for the time that I lived and your time is the fact that those forces of darkness were deeply directing what unfolded in my time. They were the forces that drove the French Revolution for their own purposes. It was packaged as a mechanism for freeing the people, but in truth, it had very little to do with that. It was about usurping the power that was held by royalty prior to them coming forth and placed in the hands of the dark. And you see the same forces at work behind the scenes in your world today. Some of you will be very aware of the fighting which is occurring in Israel and Palestine, and the fighting in the Ukraine, and so many other things of destruction and darkness in your world at this point. And if you look behind the scenes, you will find these same dark forces traced back to the same primary families that were responsible for these threads of revolution in my time. So there are great parallels. In essence, nothing has really changed in terms of the human experience in that regard from my time to yours. The only difference, really, is that you live in the time when these forces will have their power curtailed. Indeed, they will have their power eliminated as events unfold, because it is that moment when the ending of this is all planned. But few people understood the influence that these forces had in the unfolding of events in my time. It was not so obvious that the key individuals driving the revolution were in fact Freemasons, and that they were in fact related to a particular stream of Freemasonry, that stream that indeed was actually created by the Illuminati not so long before the events of the French Revolution. We are talking about simply a matter of several decades. And so they very quickly began to exercise their power within the European context and beyond. And I have come to understand a little about the nature of human path, this, you might say, time when the dark have been allowed to hold sway in the human experience. Of course, I had no knowledge of this during my lifetime. In so many ways, I recognize that I was just so naive on so many fronts. I lived this essentially cloistered existence, both as a child and as an adult, so disconnected from what was truly driving life on so many levels. And it is only since I crossed over that I have begun to understand these things, and it has been an extraordinary learning path, you might say, a path by which I have come to understand these things and have examined them in more detail than perhaps most do, because I wanted to understand why my life had finished up where it had ended. So these are the key things I wished to share with you, that I have learned a great deal from the time of that lifetime and subsequently, and also the parallels that exist between my time and yours. Indeed, the forces that were at work in my time are far more widespread in your world today. They essentially dictate so much of what is happening across the planet, and this is far more widespread now than it was in my time. So this is the essence of what I wish to share with you.
Thank you, Marie. I do have a question about these dark forces that have run all through humanity, or through the history of humanity. Do they all go back to that time of Atlantis and the Dark Priest?
There is a strong connection with those who came forth as the Dark Priests, but not all threads of darkness that are present upon planet Earth are directly linked to those Dark Priests. What you can say is that in your time, those who incarnated as the Dark Priests have come back in this time, and they will see their handiwork emasculated, their efforts brought to an end. You might say on a level they are being given a chance to choose differently, but of course they will not choose differently. They will continue on that same path. So not all of the darkness, all of those who have participated in this dark path were the priest class, the Dark Priests of Atlantis, although they clearly are, in a sense, interconnected.
And do you have any thoughts, Marie, as to how these changes are going to come about? How is all of this going to be created so that the darkness is, what shall I say, expunged from the planet?
I have come to understand that this, you might say, recovery, this escape from the clutches of the dark, and this what you term ascension process was planned before the fall in Atlantis. Indeed, those who oversaw the fall and planned it, because it was a planned event, also planned the end of this challenging and difficult period of consciousness that humanity has been in since that time. There was uncertainty as to whether humanity would survive this very difficult consciousness, I have come to understand, but clearly humanity has survived. And so that process, as I say, has been long planned. There have been energies that have been sent to the planet over a long period of time. And in particular, over the last 50 years or so, these energies have increased in power. And indeed, particularly in the last 3 or 4 years, these energies have built up tremendously. And so there are also key alignments, you might say, within the cosmos that are associated with this unfolding. So much planning has gone on in the background to set up this time of change that you find yourselves in. And as you understand it, the intention is for a return to the physical form that existed prior to the fall in Atlantis, which is a perfected human form, which does not age as the physical form does today. And so the first step in the process will be the return of this perfected form of the physical human body that does not age. And that recovery, you might say, is a process that you know of as rejuvenation. And this will be the first step that will unfold. I have examined this in great detail because I wanted to understand how this process of darkness, if you will, that was such a force behind the scenes in my time, what would happen to it and when. And so I came to understand what was planned here. And so you will see this recovery that you have been told about, and then there will be a separation between those who are sufficiently prepared at a soul level to move beyond this dark and damaged consciousness to a new or higher level of consciousness, leaving this damaged version of planet Earth behind and leaving these dark forces behind. And so in time, these individuals who have chosen to remain on this dark path will in the end have their souls deconstructed. The forces that hold the particles of their souls together will be removed, and they will simply scatter, they will simply fall, and they will be collected up and taken back to the center of the cosmos, and they will not be used again because of the way that they have been used by these beings.
Thank you. Do you have any insight, Marie, as to that level of awareness or consciousness that governs these things?
I don't understand your question, Carol.
What group of beings oversees this evolutionary path that you speak of?
There are many groups of beings on many levels that have had input and influence over this process. Indeed, it arises, as I am able to witness it, it actually arises beyond this cosmos. It is a broader plan that has its origins, as I say, beyond this cosmos, and indeed has flowed down, and actually that plan has included the creation of the galaxy in which you find yourselves, the solar system in which you find yourselves and the planet upon which you find yourselves. These were actually all planned and put into place as pieces of the puzzle that would unfold this change. So this gives you some sense of how, you might say, sophisticated or comprehensive the planning has been in its broadest sense. And if you look more closely at the unfolding that is happening in your time, rather than this more macro picture, there are groups of beings that have roles in this unfolding. And from what I have been witnessing, they are all groups that you are aware of. There is a higher level of light beings, you might say, that are overseeing these changes. There is a group known as the timekeepers that decide, in a sense, how these events unfold, or the timing of them in particular, and they need to provide approval, provide authority, release the process, you might say, which they have done. And so, as I say, there are several levels, including, as you are aware, there are beings on Venus that are actively involved with the detailed implementation as it unfolds into your dimension. So this is occurring on many, many levels.
Thank you. With regard to timing, do you have any concept of when this will come about?
I am aware that you have had many promises and commitments about when this will unfold, and I do not wish to join the list of those who have given you what have proven to be optimistic forecasts. But as I examine the possibilities and probabilities, I can see that the probability of this unfolding is now indeed very bright and full of colors. And this is an indication that this is about to unfold into your dimension, into your experience. And so I would say to you that this indeed is very close to unfolding in your experience.
Thank you. I would like to invite our listeners to call in with your questions, your comments, and your thoughts about our conversation tonight. So do that. Time passes by quickly. We're halfway through the show already. So, as we said, time marches on, and if you're going to get your comments in, call now. Richard, did you have any questions of Marie?
I guess I'd be interested to hear a little more from her on how she saw the events as they unfolded in her time. Because she didn't really talk about that in great detail.
Are you talking about the French Revolution?
Yes.
Well, I'm sure she could comment on that. She probably has studied that. So, Marie, what can you tell us with regards to the French Revolution and how it arose? Maybe you could fill in some of that information, that background information.
As I said, there were those forces of the dark that were fomenting change behind the scenes. And indeed, it was the agenda of the Illuminati to eliminate the power of royalty in France. If you examine the various countries of Europe, you will see there have been different models that have unfolded. The Illuminati could not see how they could take control of the, you might say, royal group within France, and so they decided to replace it, and in so doing be in a position of direct power. Whereas if you look in Britain, what you find is that the royal family remains, whereas in particular the Rothschilds have essentially owned Britain since the time of Napoleon, when some very clever trading by one of the Rothschilds essentially allowed him to purchase the, you might say, underlying value within the British economy, such that the complete control of Britain and its entire global structure was in the hands of the Rothschilds from that event. And so they did not mind that royalty remained in place in Britain, because they could control it quite readily. And the public posturing is that indeed the Queen of England carries a great deal of wealth, and on a level that is true. But she and those of her family are completely beholden to those Illuminati forces in the background. Indeed, they at their deepest levels are extremely dark, and you will find this throughout all of the royal families that remain in Europe. So they are, in a sense, controlled through these, you might say, satanic practices. And so those forces were not at work, you might say, in the time of my time in France. And so we were removed. We were eliminated through the revolution. It was packaged to look like it was, you might say, the public revolting, and especially the way it is recorded in history. You need to understand that virtually none of what you take to be history is actually accurate. It is carefully crafted to reflect the story that those who have run the game behind the scenes wished to project. This is true with virtually every aspect of history. It is said that history is written by the victors, and if you are in a place where you fund both sides of a war, for example, then you are by definition the victor. You do get to write the script. You do get to write what is taken to be true, what is taken to reflect the events, when in fact it may have very little to do with what actually occurred. Indeed, if you examine history, you will find that what is recorded in history changes as time goes on, because it serves the interests of those behind the scenes to fine-tune the story that is told to serve their purposes of the day. There could be no better example of this in your world today than the background to the creation of Israel, and how this was executed, how it was planned and executed throughout the last century. So I share these things with you because unless you understand how this works, you cannot begin to understand the processes that were at work, the manipulation of the public perspective, the way in which the royal family of France was discredited in the eyes of the public. It was a very, very carefully planned and executed campaign to isolate the royal family within France. I am not in any way defending the way royalty has operated, either in my time or indeed in any other, except when you go back sufficiently, when royalty truly did represent the light, which it certainly does not today and has not for some time. But it is important to understand the manipulation that was undertaken. The propaganda that was put forth to achieve the ends of the Illuminati at the time of the French Revolution. So I think this might perhaps answer your question a little better.
Thank you, Marie. We have someone on line one who has a question. Racine. Welcome, Racine. What question do you have of our guest?
Hi, am I online?
You're online.
Okay.
Your
good.
Question.
Okay, the name is Francine. Okay.
Oh, Francine. Sorry.
Francine. I had a couple personal questions for her. I was wondering what happened, how she felt, and when she died because of the trauma of the circumstances of her death, and if she's ever come back to Earth again.
They're good questions.
Reincarnated.
Did you hear the questions, Richard?
I did.
Thank you.
Firstly, I appreciate the sentiment of your question, because you might say at the time of my death, I had been deeply discredited and ridiculed. And so most people of the time in France were pleased to see me die. And the process of death is an interesting one. Most people who are alive have fear of death, because truly they don't understand how it unfolds. And if you have read any detailed near-death experience material, you will understand that, in fact, it is not such a difficult experience. Of course, if you were one who was burnt at the stake, for example, then that is a very difficult experience, because the body would undergo quite severe pain for a period of time before there is, in a sense, a release. But when you die from the guillotine, it is a very rapid process. So there is very little what you might consider suffering in the physical in that regard. And once you cross over, it is instantly peaceful. You become a witness to the events. You do not feel the pain of the body. So whilst it was, in a sense, a traumatic way to die, it was quite a quick process and quite a rapid release from the suffering of the body. So in ways, if I had to cross over and in a forced way, there are perhaps few mechanisms which are as rapid as the guillotine. And so,
thank you for
Once I was on the other side, I was free of this, and I was able to begin to examine my life free of any concern or, you might say, entrapment in the physical. It is a great release, in a sense, to be freed from the constraints of the human physical form. And that is why most who cross over find it to be a joyful and freeing experience. And the second part of your question, or your second question, was, has my monad sent forth other fingers of consciousness to incarnate on Earth since that time? I know these are not the words you used, but I use these words because they more accurately reflect the nature of your question, because it is not, you might say, my soul that would return, but indeed another finger of consciousness sent forth from my soul monad in the center of the cosmos. And so the answer is yes. My monad has sent forth several other figures of consciousness since my time, and indeed there is one present upon the earth at this time, present to witness the current events and indeed to seek to participate in this wondrous transition that is planned. I am not, you might say, in the thick of the preparation processes, but this finger of consciousness is present, and it is my view that it is sufficiently prepared to participate in this transition.
Thank you, Francine, for your question. I think it was an interesting answer.
Yes, indeed. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Marie, there seems to be an assault presently upon the money supply and upon the economics for humanity. Can you give us a little insight as to what's happening along those lines financially?
I would like to, in a sense, step back a level before answering your question, and that is to observe the nature of the consciousness that has existed since the fall in Atlantis. Because it is important to recognize that one of the key aspects of the consciousness that has existed is that in essence, it has been very much focused on what I would call the temporal, the physical dimension in which you live and I lived. It is about the processes of the physical existence. And so for most people, it has been about getting enough of the basics to live. Whether that was foraging for food or capturing food or even cultivating food to be able to survive. And as you would know, there have been mechanisms of exchange that have been introduced over the years. And it is important to recognize that part of what has been done by the dark is to have the public place value in what is essentially worthless paper and coins by way of value. And so they completely control the money systems in the world. And indeed, the public is completely at their beck and call, though they do not understand this. That is, the public do not understand this. They, that is, the bankers in the world, could withdraw the liquidity of the world in a heartbeat at any moment if they so choose. So it is important to recognize these things. And indeed, if you examine the events that occurred in the recent past with the so-called global financial crisis back in 2007 and 2008, if you look a little deeper, you will see that this was indeed a carefully planned and orchestrated event to drain the financial resources of the various countries around the world, particularly in Europe. And so this has placed the financial circumstances of countries and people in a very precarious place. And the purpose of this was to be able to, when these individuals decide to essentially collapse the current financial structure and come forth proposing an alternative global system, again based on a similar structure to that which exists, but indeed would see the elimination, for the most part, of the assets of all of the people of the world. It is hard to imagine how this would be executed, but it is actually far simpler than you might expect, because when you remove the mechanism by which people sustain themselves, which essentially is through money, then the ability for people to hold on to their assets, whether it be land or other assets, will become extremely difficult. And so they will become very scared. And indeed, there will be such an attack on the financial systems as they currently exist in your world. You should expect it, along with the processes currently being unfolded to eliminate quite a deal of the population of the world. It is a very sad time in a sense, but there will be these challenges and difficulties in the human experience in the very near future.
Thank you, Marie. I have heard that it is the goal to reduce population. What's the thinking behind that? Do you understand any of that?
In simple terms, the objective is simply to have sufficient people on the planet to serve those who are in power and control, and to minimize the impact upon the planet of the actions of the rest of the people. Again, it is based upon the current consciousness where the world operates by consuming fossil fuels and minerals and so on and so forth. And as a result, there is destruction of the planet. These forces, it seems to me, have a conflicting agenda because on the one hand, they are driving those processes of destruction, but also they wish to reduce the population of the planet to a level that simply serves their purposes. So it is perhaps seemingly in conflict, but their intention, as I say, is simply to trim back the population so that it is far more manageable from an elite perspective and far more easily manipulated to simply serve their purposes.
Thank you, Marie. That's all very enlightening. And so we've heard this many times about people consuming less, being more conservative, putting aside some assets. And it sounds like that might be the thing to do presently also.
I would say that individuals need to protect themselves as best they can, though it ultimately will be difficult if people remain in this current consciousness. You have also heard that there will be, in essence, a separation of those who remain in this declining consciousness and those who will be preparing for the changes that are planned. And those who are part of those changes will find that they have available to them whatever it is they need to be able to function in the world. This might sound difficult to understand, but when you understand that all can be brought forth from the background energy field, indeed, that is exactly how what you experience comes to exist, then it is not so difficult to imagine this. And it is why I mentioned that there has been this focus on the temporal since the fall in Atlantis to now, because it is not necessary for a human being to have to struggle to get the physical items that it needs to survive. It is not necessary. Because when the skills are reactivated, and indeed they are already active in a select few, such as some of the yogis of the Himalayas and elsewhere, the ability to manifest from the background energy field is a fundamental ability that the human being has in its more refined form. And so simply bringing forth what you need becomes straightforward process. Life truly is not about the experience of that struggle, though it has been such for the last few thousand years.
Marie, your information has been so fascinating. If you could comment a little more about bringing forth what we need from the background energy, are you able to do this?
Part of what will occur as part of the rejuvenation process is reactivations, you might say, within the physical form that enable the individual to manifest from the background energy field. As I mentioned, there are some yogis in the Himalayas and other individuals elsewhere that have this ability today. It seems so foreign to most people, but in fact, it is not so difficult. If you understand that the energy density that exists in that background energy field is unimaginably high compared with the energy that is contained in the matter and energy that you actually experience in your dimension, then it is not so strange, you might say. Indeed, if you examine the nature of what you take as solid matter in your world, when you look at the subatomic level, you would know that the atom is mostly made up of empty space, and those particles that make it up are very ephemeral in nature, you might say. It is difficult to pin them down. And so it is almost as if when you look at the most detailed nature of matter, it disappears. And so as you understand this, then you realize that what you take to be solid really is not solid. And indeed, you might say that what you take to be your world exists because of a mutual agreement to create it as you see it. You do not understand this, but one of the processes that a young child goes through, not through conscious training, but indeed through unconscious training, is to learn how to hold this, you might say, experience of matter and life in place along with the rest of those who are present. So it is kind of held in place by this unconscious agreement. And when you start to understand this and how this works, then you begin to open up the power to bring forth whatever it is you wish and simply to disappear what you no longer require. And so when you start to awaken these kinds of abilities, you no longer need money to get the things that you need. The power that is held over humanity will no longer be in place for those who are unfolding these abilities. And it is simply an easy process to visualize what it is you wish to have in your experience and to bring it forth. The first element is this activation. The second is belief that you are able to do it. And it will be taught to those who are, you might say, joining this chain so that they can begin to activate this in their experience.
Marie, I would like to thank you so much for this beautiful information that you have brought forth. And you, Richard, for being the conduit to bring it forth. Again, thank you for your skills and your abilities and how unselfishly you use them for the benefit of all.
Thank you, Carolyn, and thank you, Marie Antoinette, for what you have given to us tonight.
Really, I think there was some very interesting information. So, Richard, we probably have like 1 minute. Not much to talk about our Templar information, except maybe you want to get a quick line about that.
Well, I don't know what to say that I haven't said before. It truly is amazing material that is contained in those messages that were given to Carolyn and I back in 2010 and 2011, talking about who the Templars in fact were, where the information came from that they actually used to build the Gothic cathedrals, how they actually went about protecting pilgrims. And one of the stories you hear is that one of the reasons for the Templars was to protect pilgrims, and indeed that was true. And you know, people speculated how on earth could they have deployed sufficient numbers to protect pilgrims as they traveled. Well, they didn't actually do that because the Templars were responsible for introducing what is known as the letter of credit. And so they encoded it, actually, so that somebody who was traveling, you know, whether it be to Jerusalem or going on some other pilgrimage, they would lodge money and other possessions, you might say, with their nearby Templar house. And they would be issued with a letter of credit, which could only be used by that individual and was, in a sense, encoded to be used as they went along their journey. And so suddenly all of the possessions that were in the hands of someone who traveled on a pilgrimage before to pay their way, you might say, suddenly all those assets weren't in their hands. And so there was not the value in robbing them anymore, in interfering with them as they traveled. So yes, the Templars protected pilgrims, but not the way most people envision. So
quite amazing, isn't it?
It is. There are so many stories like that in that material.
Really? And so, my friends, we've come to that part of the radio show where our, you might say, time has come to an end. And we wish each and every one of you blessings. And hopefully you've gained much from the work that we've done tonight. So thank you, everyone, for listening. And for you, Richard, for being such a marvelous part of this show and bringing it forth. Thank you.
Thank you, Carolyn. Thank you for your questions and providing the context for bringing these messages forth. Until next time, my friends. Good night for now.
Until next time. Good night, all of you. And to our friends at BBS, thank you for taking care of us in your usual proficient manner. We thank you also. Good night for now.